Greek and otherwise. Karas kai eirene. Paz y gloria. Gracias. Grace and peace. Yeah, okay. And of course, to all my Jewish friends, shalom. It's good to be with you. I am Timothy, and I am a tent maker, so I brought some of my tools. You always want to have your tools with me, with you in case somebody's tent blows apart. So if you need any help with your tent, just let me know, and I'd be happy to help. I got some tools here. Mostly, though, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus. And it is such an honor for me to be here with you this morning at Northwest Community Church here in San Antonio, Texas. So thank you for having me. I bring you greetings from the churches of Asia Minor. And I trust that you're enjoying God's richest blessings as you trust Him. Your elders invited me this morning to share with you the remarkable story of one of the oldest churches in our region. It's the church at Ephesus. This church is just about 40 years old, and it's seen some really, really good times and some very hard times as well. And it was one of the first gospel outposts in all of Galatia. And I was there when the Apostle Paul established the church. So it's a great honor to be able to tell you the story of this church. You and I haven't met yet, so let me tell you a little bit about myself. I was raised in the Galatian city of Lystra. And my mother was the one who first told me about Jesus. She's a strong Christian, and she shared her faith with me. And so I knew Jesus from earliest age. But it was when I was still a child that I met the man who would show me what it looks like to follow Jesus. And of course, I'm talking about the Apostle Paul. Because Paul came to my city, the city of Lystra, with his good friend Barnabas preaching the gospel when I was quite small. I was 5, 6, 7 years of age when they came to share the gospel of Jesus with Lystra. And I was so impressed with Paul. He's obviously courageous. He suffered a lot when he was in my city. But he was so friendly with us children. He left a lasting mark in my heart. Well, they didn't stay long. They left. And then about maybe 10 years later, when I was mostly full grown, I was 16, 17 years of age, they came back. This time Paul was not with Barnabas, with another man. He was with Silas, and they were once again preaching the gospel. And Paul and Barnabas both thought, you know, what we need is a helper. Timothy, would you like to be our helper and go on this journey with us we're about to take? And I said, absolutely. My parents gave permission, so off we went on a gospel preaching tour with the Apostle Paul, Silas, and me, Timothy. It was amazing. We got to go through almost all of Macedonia and Achaia. We traveled across the Aegean Sea on small boats. Very stormy sea, though. That was some excitement. We got to climb the mountains of Greece. And everywhere we went, we told people about Jesus. We shared the good news. Just like Jesus told us to do, we made disciples. And sometimes we were supported by the people we were staying with. And sometimes we had to provide for ourselves. So I am thankful to God that Paul provided me with the tools and the skills to make tents. It's always good to be able to support yourself with some trade. So if you know how to make tents, because everybody needs a tent, right? Yeah. I mean, you always need a tent for something. And so when the tent breaks or rips, or if you need a brand new tent, if you know how to make them and how to fix them, you'll never go hungry. So young people, remember this. So I have my tent making tools. And as we were traveling through all these regions, saw the power of God at work. We saw lives changed. People were healed. There were miracles. There was opposition. And so there were times when I spent days in jail, always on the run. Very frequently, we were chased by people out of towns. sleepless nights, beatings. There was a riot. Okay, so I'm getting ahead of myself because that happened in Ephesus. So let me lead up to that a little bit more, tell you more about this journey that we took. So we stopped off in the city of Philippi. And in Philippi, Paul and Silas very quickly got thrown into jail for preaching the gospel. But God delivered them on the night of their imprisonment through a great earthquake, and they were released, and we left Philippi. It wasn't safe to stay there anymore, but we left behind a strong, small faith community. And then we went on to Thessalonica and Berea and Athens. Everywhere we went, we were telling people about Jesus. And everywhere we went, there was opposition. Sometimes people tried to kill us. They always tried to shut us up. They were always trying to get us to go on to the next place. And it was a wonderful experience to watch God's provision as we traveled through all of these places. But you could tell it was really wearing on Paul because he was always the target of the opposition. We made our way to Corinth, and in Corinth we found peace. So we settled down for about a year and a half, 18 months we stayed in Corinth, and just had this wonderful experience of making disciples and seeing people come to faith in Jesus in Corinth. And then it started again. The opposition started, and they especially targeted Paul, and they were after him and threatening him. And Paul finally just looked at all the rest of us who were with him, and he said, "Guys, I've got to go home." And he didn't mean his hometown of Tarsus. He meant the place of his home church in Syrian Antioch. So all of us who were with Paul, Silas and myself and Priscilla and Aquila and Luke, we all packed our bags and got ready to go back to Antioch. And we passed, on the way to Antioch, we passed through Ephesus. It's my first time to ever see the city. It's huge. It's so big. And it's the center for trade for the entire region of Galatia. But the prosperity of the city is not so much due to commerce, it's due to the fact that Ephesus is the place. It's the place where everybody goes to worship the goddess Artemis. It's a gigantic temple to Artemis in Ephesus, up on top of a hill overlooking the city. And to stand within the pillars of that temple, you're just overwhelmed by the size of it. And every year, thousands of people come to Ephesus just to worship the goddess Artemis, and the worship is perverse and it's obscene. And we saw all of this just in the few days we were there in Ephesus. And some of them wanted to hear more of what we had to say about Jesus. And I've never seen Paul like this. He was so desperate to go back to Antioch. He said, "If God wills, we'll come back and we'll see you. But I got to go home." So we went back to Antioch and we got refreshed. Have you ever been so tired that 2 or 3 days didn't really refresh you? Well, that's what it was like for Paul. But after some months, after some significant time, he finally felt refreshed and rested, and he looked at me and said, "Hey, Timothy, want to go traveling again?" Of course I did. Who wouldn't want to go traveling with the Apostle Paul? Because every time you went on a journey with Paul, it was adventure. He was just a force for God. And so we made our way back to the city of Ephesus. And when we got to Ephesus, we found this group of about 12 men, and they were eager to hear anything we had to say about Jesus. We'd only been gone from the city for like a little over a year, but while we were gone, a man named Apollos came to Ephesus, and he told many in the city, including these 12 guys, about John the Baptist. Because Apollos didn't know much about Jesus, but he knew that John the Baptist was announcing the coming of someone greater than him, and that someone was Jesus, and we knew all about Jesus. So everything we had to say about Jesus, they were so hungry for it, and we told them everything about the Lord Jesus. His miracles, his teachings, his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead. We told them, if you'll put your trust in Christ, you'll have eternal life. Abundant life can be yours if you trust in Jesus. And they all did. All 12 of them. We've been in some cities where you can stay for weeks or months and not see one convert. But here in one day, we have 12 new believers in Jesus. That was the beginning of the church. And we stayed in Ephesus for 2.5 years. 2.5 of the best years of my life. And I got to love those men and the others who joined the church. We had freedom to share the gospel, to speak. So that by the time we left, everyone throughout Asia knew had heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Gentiles. Now, when we were in Ephesus for this extended period, I had already grown to the point, and in my faith, to where I could help Paul establish these new believers in Jesus. So I got to help evangelize, I got to help disciple, and then God did what only God can do. Miracles, healings, demons cast out, lives changed. There were people who had not been marked by purity or holiness who now were marked by purity and holiness. There was a whole group of people who had been very involved in the occult, the dark arts. So one day they decided, enough of this, we've had it. They started a huge bonfire and they burned all of their magical arts, all their paraphernalia. And then many in the church had been idol worshipers. So they worshiped false gods of wood and stone, and they started putting aside their idols. That was the beginning of the end of our time in Ephesus. Because when this growing group of Christians started putting away their idols, that hurt the idol-making industry. And Alexander and Demetrius, two of the main idol makers in the city, they stirred up the crowds against the Christians. And they incited that riot that I just mentioned a couple of minutes ago. And the riot was terrifying. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you're the target of a mob's fury. It was like the whole city had turned into a pack of wild beasts. It was mayhem and chaos, and they chased us all around the city, and they were beating people. Paul and Silas and the rest of the church, they tried to kill us. Finally, the riot quelled, it died down, but we couldn't stay there any longer. It was time to leave Ephesus, and that broke my heart because I love those people. We poured our lives into them, and now we had to leave. Paul said, let's go to Jerusalem. So we went to Jerusalem. And that's where, I just got to be honest, I wish we had more time, because if we had more time, I would tell you stories about Paul. Man, what a man. I wish you could have heard him in Jerusalem speaking to the Jewish Sanhedrin, so courageous. Or if you could have heard him speaking to King Agrippa up in Caesarea. He was bold, he was clear as a bell about Jesus. But there were charges brought against Paul by some of the Jews from Jerusalem, and they wanted to put him in jail, they wanted to kill him. So Paul was a Roman citizen, so he could appeal to Caesar, and he did. He appealed to Caesar, which meant that we were going to take a trip from Caesarea to Rome, and we made it safely to Rome. Did I mention the shipwreck? Oh, there was this shipwreck right in the high seas, right in the middle of the voyage. And I thought we were all going to die, but we didn't. And God delivered us safely to Rome. And then for 2 years, Paul stayed in his own rented quarters, and he was receiving people and writing letters, waiting to present his case before Caesar. One of the letters he wrote was to the church at Ephesus. And he finished writing the letter, and he said, Timothy, would you like to hand deliver this letter to the church at Ephesus? There's nothing I would rather do. I missed him. It had been years since I'd seen him. So I took the letter and I took the scroll and went from Rome to Ephesus, expecting this warm greeting. When I got there, I got nothing like that. They were super standoffish. It's like they weren't glad to see me. What was really going on was that they weren't doing well at all spiritually. And it was just spiritual apathy. And some of them had returned to some of the bad old ways. I was so concerned. I knew I had to do something to help them. I didn't know what to do. So on the first day of the week, when it was the day of worship, I followed them to the place where they were meeting for worship, where they had gathered. And at a certain point during their time of worship, I just walked up to the front of the meeting hall and I took out the scroll that I had from Paul and I started reading the letter. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God to the saints who are in Ephesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Well, that got their attention. You could have heard a pin drop. I just kept reading. I read the prayer that Paul prayed for them. I do not cease giving thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be open, may be enlightened, so that you can see what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his inheritance in you, the saints, what is the surpassing power of his greatness toward you who believe. Kept unrolling the scroll and reading, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, but God has now raised you up, seated you with him in the heavenly places in Christ. For by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. Paul urged that church to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which they'd been called. With all humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with each other, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Everything Paul wrote, I read. I read the entire letter. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't hold on to anger and give the devil an opportunity. Speak only the words that are edifying. Stop stealing. Work hard. Everything he said about relationships, fathers and children and masters and slaves and husbands and wives, I read all of it. And what happened when I got to the end of the letter, I saw the power of God's message when it's received by God's people. There was brokenness, there was deep repentance, and over the course of days, there was revival. It was beautiful. Started to see outbreaks of worship, spontaneous. And they started to embrace their unity in Jesus despite their great diversity. They started to serve the city in Jesus' name again. It was powerful when the word of God, when the message of God is received by God's people, it's like a seed being dropped into good, deep, rich soil. It makes impact. It changes people. And because of the response I was seeing in the people at the church at Ephesus, and because they invited me to, I stayed. I stayed with them for a while. And I stayed with them for 10 years. And they asked me to serve as their pastor. And I did. And I was the pastor of that church for a decade. It was tremendous to share life together. We grew together. We served together. Came to love them so much. And I would have stayed longer, except for I got another letter from Paul. He said, Timothy, I want to go visiting again. I want to go spread the gospel. This time I want to go to Spain because they've never even heard about Jesus. Would you like to come with me? And I did. And I told the church about it. And the church at Ephesus was so excited, they paid for and fully funded the entire trip. Sometimes it's really good for a pastor to go on a missions trip. It's good for the church. It's good for the pastor. So they funded the trip, and off I went with Paul to Spain, and we had the time of our lives ministering in the name of Jesus. That was 20 years ago. Throughout that whole 20 years, the last 20 years, I've traveled, I've evangelized, I've made disciples. It was about 5 or 10 years ago that Rome put Paul to death, but I've kept up with the work. Sometimes I'm supported, sometimes I make tents. I always make disciples. Over the years, I've heard reports about how things are going in Ephesus. And in the early years, 20 years, 15, 10 years ago, great reports, glowing reports. More recent years, been deeply troubling. They never got into heresy. I mean, Ephesus was always the champion of orthodoxy. But they had lost their passion. They lost their love for Jesus, and their love for each other had grown cold. The church had become just a shell of its former self, its former beautiful self. And then just a few weeks ago, I started hearing different reports. Reports of revival coming again to Ephesus. Worship and love and service. And I couldn't just hear about it. I had to see it with my own eyes. So I booked passage to Ephesus, and I got into the town, and I looked for one of the elders that I had known for all these years. We'd stayed in touch, and I went to his house and asked him, is it true? Has God blessed the church with revival? He said, it's true. And I said, what happened? How did this come about? And he handed me a scroll. He said, it was written by the Apostle John. And I knew John. John's in exile on the island of Patmos right now for his bold testimony. But he was able to send correspondence, and he sent this letter to Ephesus. It's actually 7 letters to 7 churches in Asia Minor. Ephesus is one of them. I knew all these churches. John knows all these churches. He, like I had served as the pastor of Ephesus for some years. So he knew the church well, and I unrolled the scroll. And I saw that while it was in the writing of John, it was actually from the Lord Jesus, dictated to John. And Ephesus was the first church John addressed. And he had really good things to say about the church. Started off with commendation. You're hard workers, you got perseverance, way to go. And then I got to the words that prompted repentance and revival. I have this against you. You have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the deeds you did at first, or else I'm coming to you and I will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. And that was exactly what the church needed to hear. Because it wasn't a matter of them believing the wrong things. They had simply lost their love for Jesus. So because of what they had heard from the letter that John sent, which is actually from Jesus, which is just like what happened 20 years earlier when they got the letter that was read by me but was written by Paul, they started to remember how sweet things used to be. And they repented of their spiritual apathy, and they began to repeat the deeds they had done at first, and they renewed their love for Jesus. And that is the story of the church at Ephesus. It's a story of ups and downs, of rebellion leading to revival, leading to rebellion, leading to revival again. And it's the story of the power and the impact of God's message when it's received in the human heart and it produces beautiful fruit. Would you join me in giving thanks to God for his life-changing work in the church at Ephesus? Okay, it's me. So the story you just heard is the story with a little bit of poetic license of the church at Ephesus. It's actually the story of every church, and the story of every Christian's up and down. We hear the word, we hear the message of God, and we receive it in faith and obedience. And then we come to experience the joy of the Lord. And then time passes, and the enthusiasm wanes, and then apathy sets in. And if it's long enough between exposure to God's message, the downward spiral continues, and we start to adopt the bad old ways again. And then God in his grace sends his word again. We're exposed again to God's message. And he renews. And he revives as we receive the message. Now, only you know where you are today, spiritually speaking. And it may be that you're in a great place and you've been walking with the Lord. Not perfectly. Nobody does that. But you've been walking with the Lord and you've been faithfully receiving the word. Or maybe, like some of those in the church at Ephesus, you have lost your first love for Jesus. Think of that as losing something that is precious to you, something you value, and you can't find it, and you're desperate to find it, and you don't know how to find it. So you've lost your first love. Or the wording is also, you have left, and there's more intentionality to that. You have left your first love for Jesus. So think there of abandoning a good friend. And if either of those is the case, you've lost or you've left your first love for Jesus, the need of the hour for you is repentance. So for all of us who might be at some level in need of the grace of repentance, I'd like to just lead in prayer right now. And ask that God would do that kind work in our heart of leading us to repentance, the kind that bears fruit for him. Pray with me, please. Father, we want to thank you for the way you've poured out grace on all of us here today. And you constantly do. And your word is always a lamp unto our path. And sometimes we're not as receptive to it as we should be. But now, Lord, we listen to your word with open hearts. And we repent of having lost or left our first love for Jesus. We would return. We would love him the way we have at the best moments of our lives. We would repeat the deeds we do for Jesus when we know how much we need him and know how much he loves us and love him in reply. Please take our broken hearts and our broken lives and turn it into something beautiful as we live for you and make us for each other the greatest cheerleaders we can be, so that together, arm in arm, we can lead lives that bring honor and glory to you. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.